Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Our
Amen.
Lives
Hallelujah.
Will be lighted up.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Very Amen. Quickly, brothers and sisters in the Lord, just have a very short message or a charge or instruction or the mind of God for us as a church, as individuals, as we close the year 2020 and as we enter into the new year. And from witnesses and from prayers we'll be having, it shows that the Lord is ready to do great and mighty things in the church of God in this coming year. And one of the things the Lord is doing, you know, for the church so that we can experience these great and mighty things is to equip us, is to prepare our mind, to prepare us body, soul, and spirit, to prepare us in every aspect so that we can receive and so that we can walk according to his plan and purpose. So, the church of God is going to experience a different phase entirely in terms of the relationship between Christ and the church. It will be a different mode entirely. It will be a different aspect. It will be different from what everybody all know. It will be different from what we all think it will be. The Lord is going to take the church through a different path entirely. And it is necessary that people who are going to walk in that path, they are well prepared. They are ready. They are ready to move with God. They are ready to do what God says. They are ready to yield and obey the instructions that the Lord will be laying out unto his people. So I want you to find grace to follow attentively and also let's be in tune with the Spirit of God so that as the word of God comes out, we know what to do. And as instructions come out by the help of the Holy Spirit, we know which area of our lives we need to put in place. We know which part of the house we need to keep in order. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen, amen.
Very quickly, we are with our Bibles. Let's open to the book of John chapter 2. John chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 11. And this will be this passage will be what will launch us into what the Lord has for us as a body, as his church, and as individuals. Amen.
Amen.
If we are in John chapter 2, let's say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory amen. To God.
Hallelujah.
John chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1. It says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servant, whatsoever he said unto you, do it." Number one instruction that the Lord is giving to his church today is whatsoever he asks us to do, we should do it. Whatsoever the Lord instructs us to do, we will do in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Amen. There were six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, filled the water pot with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast has tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servant which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. Please, I want us to take note of this verse 10. It says unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Then verse 11 says, this is the beginning of miracles. Did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When I read this particular scripture, especially the verse 10, when the governor of the feast said, thou hast kept the good wine until now, there was a particular statement that the Holy Spirit just dropped in my mind. The statement is that he saved the best for the last. He saved the best for the last.
He saved the best
for the last.
Thank you, Jesus.
And as this statement dropped into my mind, I began to just ruminate over it and look, what does it mean? Why is the Lord saying he saved the best for the last? And the Lord told me, for this time we're about to enter, this season, his church will experience good. I don't know how to put it. The church will experience great and mighty things. You know, there is a lot of chaos around, but the church of God will be an exemption. While people experience a lot of downfall, a lot of problems, a lot of pressure here and there, there will be a difference in this house. The church of God will be an exemption to those things. And looking at this particular scripture, the Bible says this was the beginning of the miracles that Jesus did. And it is so important that we look at it and said, why is changing water to wine the first miracle that Jesus will ever do? And looking at it, actually, this is not the main, burden of what I want to share, but just to prepare our mind. Looking at this, I discovered that the Lord was passing a message across to the people. Jesus Christ himself was passing a message across that I have come, and what I bring with me is good. You have been experiencing, you know, what you call the worst part of things. But as for me, being sent by my Father, as for me, being the Savior of the whole world, I bring good tidings. I bring glad tidings. I have come to restore. I have come to change situations around. I have come to deliver those that are oppressed. Can you imagine that these people in the marriage, they were drinking the so-called worst wine? It was not good. And you know, have you ever tasted something that is bad, that is not sweet? You know the reaction on your face. You know how you behave, that you'll be like, no, this thing does not gel with me. I'm not going to take this again. But Jesus came and said, my own is different. I will show you a more excellent way. And he gave her the good wine. And the governor was so pleased and was like, men used to set out the good one so that when everybody is fully drunk, by the time you put the worst one, they will not know. But the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ is different. He is coming with goodness. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
Exciting. It's exciting. It's exciting. You know, we should cast out every altar of fear or doubt, because the Lord is going to equip his church. The Lord is going to equip us every aspect of our lives, spiritually, physically, in every dimension of our lives. There'll be a great equipping. Hi, the Lord will help us this evening in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Give us a clear picture of what I'm saying and what the Holy Spirit is passing across to us. We are going to look into the book of Joel, Joel chapter 3.
Hallelujah.
Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3 covers a lot of things that is going to happen in this season that we're about to enter. Both is a two-way thing, both in the world in general and also to the church. So there are two pictures, there are two pictures that the Lord is saying in his word that will happen in this season we are about to enter. And we know that we will know that which is for the word and that which is for the church of God, the body of Christ. And that's why I said the Lord Jesus Christ has come bearing good tidings. Joel chapter 3, from verse 1. I will read from verse 1 to verse 1 to 18, very quickly. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lot for my people, and have given a boy for an allot, and sold a girl for wine, that they may drink. Yeah, and what have ye do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all coast of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your head? Because ye have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold into the Grecians, and ye might remove them far from your border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where ye have sold them, aye, and will return your recompense upon your head, and I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Serbians, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken it. Then he says, proclaim ye among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshare into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. And let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourself and come all ye heathen, and gather yourself together round about. Let I cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, and the fat overflows, for their wickedness is great. Multitude, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Then verse 15 says, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. Now, this is the instruction for the church. This is the word of the Lord for the church. It says, the Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. I expect us to shout amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Then verse 17 says, so shall ye know that I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion and my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. And it shall come, verse 18 is the emphasis, and it shall come in that day that the mountains shall drop with new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with water, and the fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be in desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Brethren, that's why I said the times we are is exciting, because the Lord is going to stand up on behalf of the church. The Lord is going to roar. They'll be shaking. Will be lots of shaking, both in the heavens and on the earth. But the Lord says, I will be hope to my people, and I will be their strength. He says, this season we are entering is a season where they will know the God of the church. This is a season where they will know the Lord over the church. The Indians will know who actually rules the heavens and the earth.
Hallelujah.
We are entering a season of showcasing, where the Lord will showcase his own people. And the Lord will make them known. Every form of dryness, wilderness experience will become wetness. This is it. This is it. The Lord is saying, endure. And now, to be honest, this prophecy, this particular thing, started from the chapter 2 of Joel. You know, when you read from chapter 2, you will further understand what is going on. So, this is the instruction that the Lord is giving unto the church, that the Lord is saying unto us as a body and as individuals. Though there will be a lot of shaking and a lot of things, the Lord is telling you, is telling me that I am your hope. I am your strength. They will know that I am your God. They will know that I have been the one that has been carrying you all through. Nothing will come near you. Those people that have come to punish you because you are serving me, I will lay a recompense upon them. That is what the Lord is saying. And that is why we should not exercise and accommodate any fear at all. Brethren, don't let the devil deceive us. We are untouchable.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Nothing can Amen. Come near
Amen.
Nothing can come near our dwelling.
Hallelujah.
We are of God. We are chosen of God. The Bible says, because we bear the mark of God upon us, let no government, let no law. Look, go and eat with the devil and come and say you want to touch the children of God. It's impossible.
Amen.
Let no man trouble us. That is the instruction of God. So we are saved in God's hands. And as I was looking at this scripture and looking at the words that have been coming from the beginning of the end of the year prayers, utterances that have been made, one thing the Lord has been pointing out to me is that the whole house will be like God and the least will be like David. That's what
Amen.
Has been repeating itself from various verses that the Lord has been using in this time. And I believe this is the fulfillment. This season, these remaining 30-something hours into the new year, this is where the Lord will be equipping his people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
If we want to
Hallelujah.
Give a title to this charge or this particular message, I will name it The New Wine. Praise God.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The New Wine. And that is why verse 18 is the major emphasis. He said, and it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains will drop forth with new wine. We read in the book of John, Jesus brought forth a new dimension of wine that they've never tasted. They tasted it and saw and said, oh my God, where have you kept this wine? The new wine is one of the things that the Lord is equipping his church with in this day and in this time. What is the new wine? What, when we talk about the new wine, what are we saying? The new wine is an embodiment of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Or you can say an embodiment of the Word and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. There will be a major equipping of individuals, of bodies, of the Church of Christ with the Holy Spirit and the, with the Word of God. A different dimension.
Man.
We are going to experience, you know, we used to talk, Lord, we want to touch your glory. Yes, this is the season where we will touch the glory of God. Express
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Express touching of the glory.
Amen. Amen.
But in our private relationship with God, when we gather as a body, the glory of God will always be a usual experience for us.
Amen.
In this season.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the new wine. That is the new wine. That is the new wine. And we'll see. This thing happened. It happened when Jesus came. Like I said, Jesus was passing a message across to them on at the marriage that I have come to show you a more excellent way. And the Lord showed that this came to fulfillment, and it's still what the Lord is, this is what the Lord is still going to do with his church at this point in time. Amen. When we look at Acts chapter 2, we will see.
Glory.
We will see. Before then, let's see. I'll show something in Acts chapter 1. Like I said, the new one is an embodiment of the Word and the Holy Spirit. And we know, after Christ died and he resurrected, after he made an open show of the devil and utterly disgraced the devil and his court, and victory and deliverance from death came and was delivered unto men, the Lord did something with his disciples. We saw that the Lord appeared to them and began to teach them and began to speak to them and began to relate to them and tell them things they need to do, began to give them instruction for a period of 40 days. And when the time of ascension came, he told them one thing, that they should what? Tarry in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit is come upon them. In verse 1, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus told them, he said, "Boy, in verse, from verse 8, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And he said, and the Bible says, after he has spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of the sight. And what? They looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up. Then the disciples did something. What did they do? After Jesus ascended, verse 13, they went up into the upper room and waited. So after they've received the ministration of the word, they've received a ministration from the resurrected Christ. They've seen him. Those that had doubt have touched him. Those that had, you know, those that were not sure, you know, they've been hearing rumors. They came to confirm that Jesus Christ has risen. And after he has instructed them and he has shown to them that he has risen and he has given them instruction that they should wait for one more thing, one more aspect of the new wine, one more dimension of the outpouring of the new wine. I have come, me speaking to you, sharing the word of God with you is one aspect of the new wine. Another aspect is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and you have to wait for it. Don't do anything until you have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Don't do anything until this new wine has come upon you. Brothers and sisters, we bless God because the word of God is not scarce among us. For over how many years now, the Lord has been constantly giving us his word, opening his word to us. We've been receiving the word of God left, right, center. Every aspect, there's word. There's no famine. There's no scarcity. The word of God is readily available. But there's one more thing, a major outpouring of his spirit. And this will cost us as a body. You know, we were praying for boldness the last time. We have been praying that the Lord will grant us boldness. Yes, it is the outpouring of this new wine that will give us the boldness that we need. We have the word. The word of God is there. But there is a spirit that backs the word. There is a spirit that propels a man, even without him consciously knowing, speaking the word that has been, you know, sown in him, the Spirit of God. So what did the disciples do? They went to the upper room, and we'll go to the Acts chapter 2. In the upper room, what were they doing? They were praying. They were ministering to one another, waiting. And Acts chapter 2 from verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. The Lord is going to showcase his church. And in showcasing his church, it is the Spirit that gives utterance. We will not go out there just because we want to say what we know. We will go out there because the Spirit leads us, because the Spirit directs us. This is a season where, brothers and sisters, whatever you'll be saying will not be your words. It will be the words of the Holy Spirit. This is a season of total dominance of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. There will be no iota of flesh, no iota of the soul. We will all be spirit filled, spirit born. Oh my God. We have,
Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is what will happen to us. The Bible says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men of out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these we speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in all parts of Libya, even to Africa, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. This is a season where there will be no language barrier.
Amen.
Once you open your mouth to utter the word of God, my God, let the person not understand English. You will communicate this gospel with the person.
Amen.
Because you are being backed with the Holy Spirit. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? But look at something. Look at something in verse 13. Others mocking, saying, these men are full of new wine. When I read this thing, you know, normally when we read it, we read it as, oh, they were mocking. But my attention was drawn to it that actually they were bearing witness of the new wine. Even though right there, they were mocking them. But in reality, spiritually speaking, the disciples were filled with the new wine because every form of fear went out. Peter, that could not say anything, stood up with boldness and spake unto the people. They were in hiding for almost how many months or how many weeks, but when the new wine came upon them, they received boldness. He said, and ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses unto me. So the people there were mocking them and said they are drunk with new wine, but they were bearing witness to it. They were right. The disciples were drunk with the new wine. Though, physically speaking, they thought is, you know, the normal wine they drink. But this is a spiritual wine. The wine that comes with the embarking of the Holy Ghost. And they stood up. And Peter began to speak. He began to speak of what the Lord has said in Joel chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 28, where it says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You know, your sons, your servants, your fathers, everyone, those that will dream dreams will dream dreams, those that will see visions, those that will prophesy will prophesy. Though it will be a time of darkness, but a people shall be separate. There will be an highlighting. The light of God will be upon such a people that they will walk in darkness with the light of God because they are filled with the new wine. The new wine brings about clarity and effectiveness. For those of us who are finding it difficult to know what the Lord has for you, once we partake of this new wine, starting from tonight, you will receive clarity and effectiveness. Amen. In the work of God.
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
You will not be confused of what Amen. The Lord wants you to do in his house. For those of us, we need clarity in what, in the direction to go in life, the Lord will give us clarity.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As we partake of this new wine. For those of us who find it difficult to walk uprightly in God, as we partake of this new wine, we will receive strength. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. Why? Because they will partake of the new wine. There will be an outpouring of the new wine, and every form of weakness, every form of Adamic nature will be eradicated because of the new wine. People will walk in full righteousness. People
Amen.
Will walk in full holiness. People will walk in great dimensions of God. For people who have been seeking the face of God to be very, very... Look, let's watch it. Let's watch it. The Lord will showcase his church.
Amen.
That's right.
The Lord will showcase his church.
Amen.
Prepare your mind. Prepare yourself. Be ready. Forget the lies of the devil. Forget the lies of what everybody will say. Forget the lies of what the government is saying. The Lord will showcase you.
Amen.
And you, the Lord is you. See, the Lord used the disciples as an example to show them that there is a more excellent way. And because of this, in Acts, what happened? The men came to the knowledge of Christ. Men that were walking in darkness, their lights, their eyes were opened. They were being enlightened because a people we are operating under the influence of the new wine. And we will see further, even to chapter 4 of Acts, where even they came and said, don't speak in this name. But because they were drunken, Peter was so drunk with the new wine, he was just speaking. He was just speaking. They said, don't mention. It is when they said, don't mention the name. That's when I say, in Jesus' name. It's when they say, if you speak of this name, we'll discipline you. That's when they arrested them, put them in prison. Once they come out, they go back to the synagogue. Why? Because they were under the influence of the new wine. When I talk about, I'm not talking about the wine. I'm talking about the Spirit and the Word of God. They were no more in control of themselves. The disciples were no more in control of themselves. It was the Holy Spirit that was leading them to do that. Stephen, a man who was full of the new wine, even in the times and in the moment of persecution, of stoning, what was he seeing? He was seeing visions. Visions of heaven. He was prophesying. Your young men shall see vision. Stephen, when they were stoning, only a drunk person, have you seen it? Like my brother was talking about a drunk person, I think last Sunday. And he was saying, when somebody is drunk, no matter what you do, you won't get to that person. When somebody is drunk, try and beat the person. He's not even aware. He's just doing his own and just speaking. That's what will happen to the church. When this new wine come upon us, when the word we have taken in, when the time to begin to act the word, and not just talk, when the time comes for us to begin to do that which we have known, then you see, people will say everything. What will be our purpose? What will be our meat is just the gospel. This gospel must be preached to the ends of the earth. You will find yourself finding it easy to relate the gospel to your friends. Those friends you are shy of speaking the gospel to, as you partake of this new wine, you will find it easy to relate Christ to them. You will find it easy to deliver them from every form of darkness. There will be major utterances that will come upon the church. The church of God will speak with boldness. They will act with boldness.
Amen.
Why? Because of the new wine. That is what the new wine does. The new wine brings about a major blessing, major upliftments, promotions in every aspect. Look at what happened when you read further in Acts. The Bible says the church of God was blessed. They were so blessed that no one was poor among them. That will be our experience in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As we partake of this new wine, spiritual poverty, physical poverty, mental poverty will be eradicated in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen.
Apart from the church having boldness, they were also upright. The Bible says nobody lacked anything among them. Nobody lacked anything among them. Why? Because the Spirit of God was being outpoured upon them. Because they were full of the Holy Spirit. They were full of the Holy Spirit. The new wine. That is what the new wine does to us. And brethren, this is what the Lord is going to equip his church with the new wine. So as we enter this season of major darkness, gross darkness, a people will be equipped with the new wine and they will walk in light. A people will be equipped with the new wine. While everybody is shouting, hey, this is terrible, they will be rejoicing. When people are shouting, oh my God, this is worse, they'll be saying, we bless God. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is in Acts, in Joel chapter 3, he says, while God is judging the Eden in the valley of Jehoshaphat, in the valley of decision, while the world is entering a lot of tumult, a lot of earthquakes and everything, while the heaven and the earth is shaking, a particular people, the people of God, the household of God, Israel, Judah, they'll be experiencing peace. They'll be experiencing promotion. They'll be experiencing the opposite of what others are experiencing. So while others are experiencing negativity, the church of God is experiencing positivity. While people are being depressed, the house of God is experiencing joy, joy in the Holy Ghost. While people are experiencing one form of sickness or the other, the church of God is experiencing good health. Oh, glory to God Almighty. Glory to God Almighty.
Yeah.
For this is the mind of God for us.
God.
This is the mind of God for us. This is the mind of God for us. But very quickly, we've seen this wine. We've seen what it does. We've seen what it's going to bring unto us. But there is a condition. There is a condition to receiving this new wine. Yes, the Lord will pour the new wine, but into which vessel? Into which vessel is the Lord pouring this new wine? Why is this a condition? Let's see. In Mark chapter 2, when I said the Lord is going to take the church into a different path and a different dimension of living, we will see it in Mark chapter 2. From verse 18. I will read from verse 18 to 21. Mark chapter 2 from verse 18. And the disciples of John and the Pharisee used to fast. Now, listen. Look at what is happening here. The disciples of John and the Pharisee, they used to fast. But they came to Jesus and said unto him, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisee fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and they shall fast in those days. Jesus predicting his death. And verse 21, he says, no man seweth a piece of a new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. Verse 22, this is the emphasis. He said, no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But the new wine must be put into new bottles. I will read that verse 22 again, and I would like somebody to read verse 22 in Amplified Version and New Living Translation. And I'll read it here, and then someone who is with Amplified and New Living Translation will read that verse 22.
Yes, sir.
It says, and no man put a new wine in old bottles, else the wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred, but new wine must be put in new bottles. Someone with Amplify, please, can you help me with that?
Amplify says, sir, it says, no one puts new wine into old wine skins. Mm. Otherwise, the fermenting wine will expand and burst the skins, and the wine is lost as well as the wine skins. But new wine must be put into new wine skins.
New Living Translation.
And no one puts new wine into old wine skins, for the wine would burst the wine skins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wine skins.
Hallelujah. He said new wine calls for new wine skins. Now, there's a message the Lord is passing across to us. He said, I will pour my new wine upon you. Yes, I've said it in my words, and my word will not go unfulfilled. But I'm going to pour it in a new wine skin. What is the Lord telling us? What does new wine skin represent? What does it mean to have a new wine skin? What does the old wine skin represent? And we see what will happen if a new wine is poured into the old wine skin. What will happen? The bottle will burst, the wine will be spilled, and the bottle will be useless. So the new wine must be put in the old bottles. What is he saying? People who are going to receive the new wine, they must act and they must receive it with a renewed mind. Now, putting it more clearly, the new wine skin represents, first of all, works of the flesh. Old wine skins represent works of the flesh. And you can't take new wine into old wine skins. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of our mind. Meaning, you must take out the old wine skin and put on the new wine skin for this new wine to be fully operational in our lives. That is why Jesus was telling them, when they were saying, why is your disciples not fasting? Jesus said, their own form of living is not religious like you. We know you fast because the whole world we know. Anytime you are fasting, the whole world we know you are fasting. You know, you Pharisees, I know you very well. And Jesus instructed, he said, when you fast, don't do like what? Don't do like the Pharisees, because they like to showcase that they are fasting. And that is the pattern John's disciples too were following. He said, theirs is different. I have to change the wineskin first before I pour upon them. So automatically what Jesus was doing in Acts, from his relationship with the disciples starting from this moment to what happened in Acts, was Christ putting in them a new wineskin. So that when the Holy Spirit is poured upon them, when the new wine is poured upon them, it's not poured into an old vessel. And you see what happened to the lives of the disciples. Though they were weak people, people full of anger, people full of lies, criminals, tax collectors, you know, people that a lot of weaknesses were in their lives. But there was a transforming that Jesus did. He changed the old wineskin. In the space of his relationship, starting from this moment till when he ascended, he changed the old wineskin and gave them new wineskin. So when they received the Holy Ghost, they walked uprightly. We saw people who received the new wine in an old wine bottle, and they suffered for it. Ananias and Sapphira, they were part of the church, but they did not change their wineskin. They received the Holy Ghost with old wineskin. And what did they do? They frustrated the grace of God upon their life. They wasted the anointing of God, and they wasted their life. That is why, as we are going to partake of this old wineskin, we have to put off the old man. The Bible says, lay aside every weight that easily besets you. Those are old wineskins. Lay it aside. Every weight that easily besets you, and run the race that is set before us. Those are old wineskins. Those are what represent old wineskins. So the church of God, we must lay aside everything that speaks of the flesh. For this time we are entering, we must lay aside every form of covetousness, blasphemy. We must lay aside every unnatural affection. We must lay aside every truth breaking, every high-mindedness. When we lay aside these things, we are calling God for a new wine. We are allowing the word of God to be operational in our life, so that when we receive this new wine, there's nothing that is corrupting it. Look, let the anointing flowing upon an individual, let it be like a cloth soaked inside canola oil, like 25 liters of canola oil. Let it be dripping. If the vessel receiving is an old wine skin, it will burst. It will burst. And that means we are having a form of godliness, but we are denying the power thereof. When that happens, We'll be a people who can talk, but will not be able to do. When we receive this new wine in old wineskin, we'll be a people, they can, when it's time to talk, they can talk. But when it's time to do the do, they are off. We'll be fine. There's nothing to do because the vessel receiving is an old wineskin. So Jesus said, look, don't worry. When it's time to fast, they will fast. Not because they are doing it religiously. They will fast, not as you are doing it. Because I can't put new wine into old wineskin. A new wine is meant for the new wineskin. Somebody say new wine is meant for new wineskin.
New wineskin.
Now, to give us a very clear picture of what happened, an event took place in the scripture that shows why it is good, it is necessary to put on the new wineskin. New old wineskin talks of the Adamic nature, talks of things that weigh us down. But to show us a very clear picture of what I'm really saying, let's see Mark chapter 8. Something happened. It's a story that we know, but something different happened in that story. Mark chapter 8 from verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. The new wine brings a touch, you know, perfect touch into every aspect of our life that needs the touch of God. As the Lord is going to outpour this new wine into each and every one of us, those places we receive the touch of God in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So they brought this blind man in Bethsaida, and he took the blind. Now look at what Jesus did. They brought this man to Jesus so that Jesus can touch him. Now verse 23, what did Jesus do? And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when they had spit on his eyes and put his hand upon him, he asked if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hand again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Why did we read this scripture? There's something the Lord wants to show to us in relation to putting on the new wineskin and taking out the old one in preparation for receiving this new wine. This man was, this is a town, Bethsaida. And Jesus got to that town and they brought a blind man to him and said, Lord, touch this man, he's blind. But Jesus did something first. Jesus took the man out of the town. He took him out of the town before he started performing what the touch. Jesus could have easily touched the man right there in Bethsaida without taking him out of the town. He could have said, hey, man, receive your sight in the name of Jesus. Or be you, go. Your sins have been forgiven. Go. Jesus Christ would have done that. But there was a particular reason why this man had to take the man out. And the reason is that Bethsaida served as an old wineskin. What am I saying? Remember, this same Bethsaida is one of the cities that the Lord Jesus Christ lamented against in Matthew chapter 11. If you go to Matthew chapter 11, from verse 21, Jesus said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it is more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. So you see what really happened. Bethsaida is a city that they frustrate the grace of God. Any miracle that happened there, they will swallow it up. Why? They will swallow it up with what? It's a lie, please. That's not true. Come on. Look, science has said that if anybody is lame, he can grow limb. Science, you know, when you use part, that's what Bethsaida do. There's no, look, there's no, as anointed as Jesus is, he went there and they're like, please, come on, we've seen that thing before. We know it's magic. They frustrate the grace of God. They turn the truth of God to lie. That is what they do in Bethsaida. So for Jesus to touch that man and for the man to be fully restored, he had to take him out. He took him out of the old wineskin. And even so, the man was so deep into the old wineskin that the touch had to be twice. Jesus had to touch him twice. The first time, he said his men are streets. Jesus had to say, hey, okay, touch him again before he could see clearly. That is how worse Bethsaida is. Bethsaida can be anything in our lives. It can even be relationship, ungodly relationship. You want to collect, you are crying for the new one, but you're in a wrong relationship. The Lord is saying, break that relationship. Come out of it. They will frustrate the grace of God upon your life. Bethsaida can be things we idolize. They can be things that we take in high esteem, unconsciously, higher than God. Those are old wineskins that the Lord wants us to take out. Because this new wine that is going to be poured is going to be different. It's a new wine that if it's mixed with flesh, it can cause a lot of damage. So the Lord is saying, come out of that Bethsaida, come out of that new old wineskin, put on you, break that relationship that caused us to sin, that caused us to fall into sin, break it off. I can't pour this new wine while you are in that wrong relationship. I can't do it. You have to break out of that relationship and then I will pour out my new wine. So Jesus had to take the man out of Bethsaida and then I gave him an instruction. After what I've done to you, don't go back into that city and don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. Because once you go back and they tell him, they can say, look at you, that's a lie. You know, like it's part of their way of life there in Bethsaida. You can't go there and say you are a man of God. Oh, you have to prove and prove. So Bethsaida, old wineskin, there are things that frustrate the grace of God upon our lives. We have to drop it at this moment. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. And that is why the Lord has been speaking to us from our Sunday service. You know, our brother Emmanuel has been speaking. That's a message that God has been passing across to us. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The love of God brings about that transformation. The love of God, the love of Christ brings about that transformation. It's that love that changes that old wineskin into the new wineskin. That message is a message of preparation for the new wine to come. And tonight, there's another opportunity to break out of that old wineskin, to be transformed, break out of malice, out of witchcraft, out of name it, and put on the old wineskin, put on love. And then when the new wine is poured, the vessel receiving it is a vessel that can accommodate it. We see today you lament, oh, how these pastors that they are man of God, you know, God is using them, you know, they are doing miracles, but they are involving themselves in one sin or the other. It's because they receive the anointing with old wineskin. And it's putting the name of God to shame. But if people enter into this season, and even years to come, is a different people entirely. Look at the disciples. Do you know they've healed the sick once? Demons bowed down to them once. Remember when Jesus sent them 70 2 by 2? And they came back and said, yeah, demons were, but they were operating under the old wineskin. It is this same person that casted demons out that still denied Jesus at the end. Because he was operating under the old wineskin. But Jesus had to pour the old wineskin and tell them, now I've died for you. I've shed my blood and you have been transformed. I believe what Jesus was telling his disciples in that space of 40 days was the events that took place in his dying, his resurrection. Telling them you are a new set of people. You are now peculiar. You are different from this world. You are different from the scribes and Pharisees. Yes, though you are Jews, but you are different. You are a new breed of people.
Hallelujah.
You are clothed with the new wineskin.
Amen.
Clothed with the new wineskin. And that's why you can wait. And I tell you assuredly, if you wait here in Jerusalem and wait for the outpouring, you will receive power.
Amen.
This power will not only make you to be witnesses unto me. This power will give you the boldness to step upon scorpions and serpents. This outpouring will make you a major, will make you effective in the ministry I have laid in your hands.
Amen.
Because they received it with the new wineskin. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the new wine is for the new wineskin. Ezekiel 36, he said, I will take you out of where you have been and I will put you where you are supposed to be. God said, I will take you from that place, that wretched place, that Bethsaida, that thing that frustrates my grace. And look, this is how it happened. The Lord would have done a lot. For almost, count it, ever since we have given our life to God, God has been doing great and mighty things for us, but still, we still find ourselves doing things we are not supposed to do. That's Bethsaida. Jesus said, if the miracles that were done in you were done in Tyre and Sidon is worse, they would have repented. There are some things that God has done in our lives that if God did it for unbeliever, the unbeliever will run and be burning. But we will just take it for granted and say, oh, after 3 days, we'll go back to the same way we are. But that is going to stop. That is going to end this moment.
Amen.
We are entering this season. This 2021, we are entering it with new wineskin.
Glory.
With the new wine.
Amen.
Amen.
Those things that we do that turn the truth of God to life will be purged out of us. As we receive this new wine, there will be a major cleansing, a major deleting. You know, there will be a major what they do configuration, reconfiguration, a reset. A reset. And we operate as new ones, as vessels worthy. God says in my house, there are vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. So there are vessels that receive the Holy Ghost with old wineskin. They receive the new wine with old wine. They are there. But that will not be our portion.
Amen.
We will receive it with new wineskin. And the Lord will make each and every one of us, from the greatest to the least, worthy vessels unto honor.
name of Jesus.
Vessels unto honor. Vessels that will not frustrate the grace of God upon our lives in this
country. In the name of Jesus.
Vessels that will uphold the name of God. Vessels that will put their trust in the name of God. Vessels that will not put the name of God into shame. Vessels that will stand for Christ.
Amen.
That's what we are going to be in this new year. So, brothers and sisters, as I round up, I want us to take time to seek the face of God. First, if there's anything that speaks of the old wine skin in us, we'll pray to God that the Lord will take it out of us. Then after that, we'll pray for a major outpouring of this new wine. This new wine that the Lord has promised. He said the mountains, the presence of God, will burst forth with new wine. Our vats will overflow with new wine. It will burst forth with new wine. That we may walk worthy. Walk worthy of the vocation which we are called. So those are the two prayer points we are going to pray tonight as I round up. And brothers and sisters, please, I beseech us in the name of God, let us take this prayer serious. Let us pray. Because these prayers today will determine what we really want God to do with us. Yeah, we can. Now I'm talking individually. Collectively, you can hide under everybody and say, yes, we want the new one, but we are not ready to let go of what we are holding on to. But individually, it's going to determine a lot in this coming year. Only people who are walking upright will be able to experience these great and mighty things. If we are taking the old wineskin along and you receive this new wine, it will burst. So we have to, please, take this prayer serious. Let's look at our lives. This is between us and God. Let's look at our lives and see those things that speaks of the old one, those Bethsaidas, those city of Bethsaida that frustrate God's grace upon our lives. And let's say bye-bye to it. Jesus said, come unto me. Oh, ye that are burdened and are heavy laden, bring everything. I will give you rest. Take out the old wineskin and receive the new wineskin. And after doing that, we'll pray for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. See, Zoom cannot stop the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Right there, right where you are, the presence of God is there with you. So let's prepare our mind. Zoom is not a barrier. The person that created Zoom was created by God. So it's not a barrier. The Lord is ready to pour out that new wine, the Holy Ghost, afresh in a far different dimension. So let's prepare our hearts. I will enjoy us to begin to talk to the Lord.